This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist here in New York. And I see people on a daily basis from the tri-state area. I also have patients nationwide, including Hawaii, who I have telephone consultations with. If you'd like to schedule a consultation with me, please call the office 212-779-1744, 212-779-1744. Speak to Grimaldi. She will set you up. She will tell you all about fees, what you should bring with you, etc., etc. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for your questions as well for these podcasts, for my podcast, Layla Weighs In, as well as for Q&A with Layla, which I do on a weekly basis with Dr. Hoffman. Your destination for questions is radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. So, more research. A low-carb diet wins for weight maintenance. Hooray! As long as you stick with it, it will. A low-carb diet wins for weight maintenance. The metabolic effect that a low-carb diet has may improve success of obesity treatment. So a low-carb diet increased energy expenditure during weight maintenance, researchers reported here. A low-carb diet increased energy expenditure. It literally revs up your metabolism. In a group of overweight adults who recently lost 12% of their body weight, a low-carb diet helped burn more calories during the weight maintenance phase, according to David Ludwig, MD, PhD of Boston Children's Hospital in Massachusetts, and colleagues. I've heard Dr. Ludwig lecture on YouTube. Go to YouTube, look for David Ludwig, MD, from Boston Children's Hospital in Massachusetts. So I know, and I want all of you to know, and we've known this for many years, a calorie is not a calorie. The type of calorie determines its metabolic fate. And what this study, and this is why I'm jumping up and down about this, because it's proving it. It's been proven before, but more now. There is even more evidence. A carbohydrate calorie will tend to be stored as fat. And protein and fat calories will tend to be burned for energy, particularly fat calories, unless, of course, you wind up eating too many calories in a day. You can't eat 3,500 calories a day, 3,000 calories a day, and expect to lose weight. It's not going to happen. The calories do have to be reasonable, but you can eat a few hundred more calories every day and burn it off and lose weight and maintain weight better on a low-carb diet. So this group of overweight adults, they recently lost 12% of their body weight. And the researchers saying that a low-carb diet helped burn more calories during the weight maintenance phase. Specifically looking at the total energy intake, every 10% decrease in the amount of carbs that made up a person's total energy intake, total calorie intake, was tied to 52 more calories burned each day. This was reported at Obesity Week, a joint meeting of the Obesity Society and the American Society for Metabolic and Bariatric Surgery. The results were also published in the journal BMJ, British Medical Journal. So for every 10% decrease in the amount of carbs, imagine, the metabolism was revved up to burn 52 more calories per day. Who doesn't want that? And hey, we're not even exercising yet. Woohoo! Jump up and down. You're burning more calories by shifting the composition of the three macronutrients you get from your food, your carbs, your proteins, and your fats. So compared with individuals who were put on a high-carb diet during the weight maintenance phase, those on a low-carb diet had a 209 calorie per day greater change in total energy expenditure. There you go. 200 more calories a day they burned simply by eating less carbs. Hey, that's a candy bar. Even those on a moderate carb diet saw a 91 calorie per day greater change in total energy expenditure compared with those on a high carb diet. These outcomes are almost exactly as previously hypothesized, says Dr. Ludwig, adding that these results indicated that the type of calories consumed may influence the number of calories burned independently of body weight, with potential relevance to the long-term success of weight loss treatment. It's true. I've been seeing this since the year 2003 when I started practicing. Conventional teaching in nutrition holds that all calories are metabolically alike to the body. This view is based predominantly on short-term feeding studies, typically less than 2 weeks. However, the process of adapting to a low-carbohydrate diet, a high-fat diet, takes at least 2 to 3 weeks, which could confound the data. We designed our study to examine diets under the rigorous control of a feeding study with sufficient duration, 20 weeks, to see these effects. Now, this randomized trial followed 234 adults ages 18 to 65 with the body mass index, a BMI of 25 prior to weight loss. A BMI of 25 is definitely the overweight category. That's what that is. So this randomized trial followed 234 adults ages 18 to 65 who were overweight prior to weight loss. Before the 12-week run in weight loss phase of the trial, all participants were placed on the same diet comprised of 45% carbohydrate, 30% fat, and 25% protein. That's more like a zone diet you see there. After a 12% weight loss during this period, 164 adults were then randomized to a high, moderate, or low-carb diet for 20 weeks. And here's how they broke it down. The high-carb diet, and they did this right. I really have to give them kudos, but this is Dr. Ludwig who knows what he's doing. A high-carb diet was 60% in carbohydrate, 20% in fat, and 20% in protein. That is a typical high-carb, low-fat diet. The moderate-carb diet was 40% in carbohydrate, 40% fat, 20% protein. Again, more like a zone-ish diet. The low-carb diet, and here's where they did it right. The low-carb diet consisted of 20% carbohydrate, 60% fat, and 20% protein. It's literally like almost the exact opposite of the high-carb diet. The low-carb diet was 20% in carbohydrates, 60% in fat, 20% in protein. And let me give you a reference. The Mediterranean diet that everybody talks about is approximately 40% in fat, right? The low-carb diet is about 60% in fat. So they were on this diet for 20 weeks, randomized, these 164 adults. In a separate per-protocol analysis, which excluded 42 individuals who did not maintain weight loss at the start of the 20-week randomization phase, similar trends were seen among each of the three diets. So, among those, however, on the low-carb diet, ghrelin and leptin were significantly lower compared on a high-carb diet. Ghrelin and leptin are very important hormones. Ghrelin is the growl hormone, the make your stomach growl, I'm hungry hormone. Ghrelin is released, signaling your body to eat. Those on a low-carb diet had less ghrelin, therefore they were less hungry. Leptin was also significantly lower compared with those on a low-carb diet. Leptin is also a regulator of weight maintenance. As for individuals who fell into the highest third of insulin secretion prior to weight loss, meaning those individuals who had hyperinsulinism, who were in a chronic fat storage mode because of all this insulin they were secreting prior to their weight loss, the differences between total energy expenditure was even greater between those on a low-carb versus a high-carb diet. So with the full analysis, get this. There were 308 calories a day that were expended more for low-carb dieters. And for a per-protocol analysis, 478 calories a day. So imagine the low dieters who did this for 20 weeks for weight maintenance, they expended a total of 308 calories more per day than those who were on the high carb diet. In terms of physical activity, the authors reported that resting energy expenditure, total physical activity, and moderate to vigorous intensity physical activity were marginally higher in the group assigned to the low-carb diet, right? So this is only of borderline significance at all. And as any scientist does, they say the study needs to be replicated before the findings can be fully embraced. If this effect can be substantiated among a broader population with excessive weight, it would produce about a 20-pound weight loss in a few years. This is all very exciting. All the low-carb findings now, and the amount of more calories that you can burn on a daily basis. So it would be about a 20-pound weight loss in a few years without reducing calories. Imagine that. You lose weight without reducing your calories. But if you're going to maintain a high-carb, low-fat diet, you're going to have to reduce your calories. And good luck with that, because you're going to be hungry and cranky and hangry. So, this study is broadly consistent with other lines of investigation, suggesting benefits of a low-glycemic, low-diet for diabetes and heart disease prevention. However, clinical translation of the data must await additional research and all of that. So this study was supported by the Nutrition Science Initiative, New Balance Foundation, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Dr. Ludwig disclosed support from the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases. Dr. Ludwig and a co-author disclosed relevant relationships with the National Institutes of Health and philanthropic organizations unaffiliated with the food industry. So if you want to get this article, the source reference is Ebeling. The author is Ebeling et al. This is in British Medical Journal, 2018, Effects of a Low Carbohydrate Diet on Energy Expenditure During Weight Loss Maintenance. I remember in my days with Dr. Atkins that there was another, I think it was a Dr. Stephen Sondike. I believe it was Stephen Sondike. I may have his name mixed up with another doctor. If you happen to know, email me, radioprogram@AOL.com, but I will make a point to look it up myself. That there was another study done, and this was way back in the early 2000s, where they did this same type of study with children. And those who were on a lower carb plan, a very low carb diet, where only 20% of the carbohydrates, their calories were from carbohydrates, they were able to ingest, somewhere like 300 or to 350 extra calories a day and still lose weight. So it's not a matter of the calories. Remember that the type of calorie determines its metabolic fate. Anytime you're reading an article in the news or hearing another podcast where someone's saying, we must burn more calories than we take in, it's not necessarily true anymore. And it hasn't been true. So it's not just about that first law of thermodynamics, right? So it's not about the balance of calories in and calories out, or just always counting calories. I have patients and clients coming in saying, well, I put myself on this lower calorie diet. I'm only taking in, 12 to 1400 calories a day. Well, why are you doing that? Well, in an effort to lose weight. And I look at their diet history and they're on a very low fat diet, a higher carbohydrate diet. They're getting plenty of fiber. Well, fiber is a good thing. I like that. But they're complaining that they're hungry. And then at some point their weight loss hits a plateau and they're not losing any more weight. And if they already have hypothyroidism, a low calorie diet is the worst thing you can do. Mother Nature is smart. Mother Nature is going to assess that in your life, there are only so many available calories, and she will downshift your metabolism accordingly. Therefore, you've heard the term set point. Everybody has a set point with regard to their weight. They don't lose more than that. Well, Mother Nature will give you a new set point on your weight and say, you're not going to lose more than that on these 1,400 calories a day or 1,300 calories a day. And guess what? The moment you've decided that you've had enough with being hungry, angry, which equals hangry, or cranky, because you're hungry all the time. Who wants to be hungry all the time? And you decide to fall off your diet, which the rate of recidivism, is very high on a low-calorie diet, low-calorie, low-fat diet, because nobody's happy. They're not getting the beneficial fats that their brains need, which translates into better moods, which translates into less hunger. So the rate of falling off that kind of a diet is very high. So invariably, the weight gain happens. You will, as soon as you increase your calories by just a few hundred, you're gaining weight again, all over again. And then what happens with those folks? They not only gain all the weight back, they gain that weight back and then some. What happens later when they've mustered up the courage? And listen, we're heading into holiday season, right? It's just past Thanksgiving now. And this is when people, you know, are tempted all over the place with holiday parties and are putting on the food bag for full weekend excursions of holiday eating and all of that kind of thing. It makes it very hard. Most people are gaining 5 to 7 pounds over the holiday season. And what happens New Year's? You've got a new resolution to lose that weight again. Well, don't embark on the wrong diet. You won't have to eat that many less calories when you do it in a lower carb fashion. You'll be less hungry because your ghrelin, your growling hungry hormone, will be much lower. Your leptin, a very important satiety hormone, will be more normal. 3 weeks into your plan, you will likely reach or maintain your weight. You'll definitely take off those 5 to 7 pesky pounds or even 10 pounds. And you'll do it without the insult of being hungry all the time and being in a foul mood all the time. This is important, don't you think? And then you could talk about budgeting some carbohydrates for those occasional cheats. And I've written about that. It will be on the newsletter soon if it hasn't been already, and on embarking on a ketogenic diet and how to do it properly. So I'm very buoyed by this research. Check out Dr. David Ludwig if you go to YouTube, or you can Google him first, or DuckDuckGo if you're not using Google, or some other search engine that you're using. It doesn't really matter, unless it matters to you, of course, and that's important. I'm very buoyed by the study, and I hope to see more of it. I've been seeing a lot of these studies since my time with Dr. Atkins, and I think finally the tide is turning. More people are convinced, more practitioners are convinced, that it's not about the calories. It's about what it does to us hormonally, metabolically. It's our hormones that are the basis of our metabolism. It's not just about the calories. Remember, the type of calorie determines its metabolic fate. A carbohydrate calorie will tend to be stored as fat, whereas fat calories, and to somewhat lesser degree, protein calories, these are burned for energy. These rev up your metabolism. It's all good for the brain to be in lipolysis, ketosis. It's great for the waistline. You burn more fat on your body, which is a good thing. It creates a much better body composition. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.